Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Did you get any milk today? No.
No, ma'am.
You ain't get none. No. Neither donkey, one goat, one or nothing.
Nothing.
But anyhow, let me tell you something, see? Mm-hmm. That pyramid scam is a bear scam. I had joined it years ago with the whites. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody get bears, and I didn't get mine.
Oops.
I didn't get mine. So, you know, I didn't take
that
sweet. Right. Ooh. Right. So, anyhow, while on night duty, I was telling a nurse about this thing. She told me, don't join the SUSU. Don't join the pyramid, nothing. So, she said, at the bank, there is a Christmas club. And it could turn over and you get interest.
Mm-hmm.
She was moving back to South Carolina with her mother. And she had that money saved up for her transportation, her car, and her container, everything. She didn't want nobody a cent or nothing like that.
I lost it?
Huh?
I lost it?
If it...
Did she lose it?
No.
She got hers. You didn't get yours.
I didn't get mine, but she did not join the pyramid.
Oh,
she joined
okay.
the bank.
Mm-hmm.
She joined the Christmas club at the bank, Chemical Bank,
mm-hmm.
which was wise, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So... she went back down south.
Ooh.
Then she finished her tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I listened to her, and I joined the Christmas club at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I came home 1 year, and I feel like I got $3,884 in American money to spend because I wanted to give my daughter a washing machine. Up comes I gone to Nova Scotia Bank at Worthing, and this cashier can ask me how I come by this money. I say, you see that guy in the corner there? That got on the khaki and his sharp and his long socks and his suitcase in his hand and the brown shoes. I say, you ask him where he get his from? Well, I tell her I live in America and I get money the hard way. And I pull up my ID and everything from the bank and whatnot and I show her. Okay? She said, but you know, this is the rules. I said, this ain't no rules. You didn't ask him that, but you're asking me because you got two different pigmentations. So I call the supervisor and I tell him. So he says, well, you know, the rules. I say, imagine, I go to the States and I work hard. I do that and everything. I come home for my vacation and I bring down this money with me thinking I got money to spend. Y'all going to ask me where I get this money from.
That's one of the things about banking then. It's one of the things that have become even more acute, no, ma'am, with the challenges facing. I think the funds, once it gets to 5,000, sometimes in some places 10, but I know in some places 5. Yep, that's where it is, ma'am. They always ask source of funds. From working in a bank, I can tell you we got some interesting answers too that we couldn't write down on paper. That much I can tell you. Thanks for your call. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Hello? Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
All right, I just wanted to touch on this talk that's going around about these blessing circles and everything. I just heard the lady talk about they are pure scams. But what I really have to say is that every person has a responsibility to investigate whatever they're going into. If you're going into something and you don't investigate it and you lose your money, there's no one to blame but yourself. But I can say to you that I've investigated some of them. And don't get me wrong, Mr. Johnson, there are scams out there. There's no two ways about that. But not all are scams. I know about one in particular, which I have investigated for months. It is genuine and it operates on simple business principles. Anyone that knows about investment will say simply to you, investment is a risk.
All. Mm-hmm.
Firstly, now you do not invest more than you can afford to lose. And regardless of what type of investment it is, you must take time for your investment to mature. Some will mature longer than others. But they also say that the greatest risk of all is not taking the risk. So no matter how you look at it, it is a risk. Now, I can tell you about the circle that I know of. And it's very easy. People talk about how you can invest 2,700 and get back 21,600. It is simple mathematics. And it is simple everyday principles that you operate by. They ask you why you have to bring two people. Well, you have to bring two people because that is your contribution to guarantee your own success. That is why they tell you in the what the organization that I am around, that you must operate with people who think like you, who think investment. We don't deal with persons who are looking to get rich fast, yeah, or looking for quick money or not grab and go financial adventures. Nobody in the circle that I'm affiliated with can steal anything from anybody. There are two persons at any given time who touch money. The person that is supposed to pay and the person that is supposed to receive. No other person in that organization touch money. There's no person holding anything for anybody. No person get a payment for anything they do. No interest is payable on anything received. And simply speaking, it is simple everyday business principles that we operate by. Whoever is receiving has already put in their investment from the beginning. And when you pay your investment, that is your investment. When you bring two people, that is you doing things to make your opportunity work. And then you sit back and you wait until your investment matures. Mr. Johnson, what is the difference between that and what the insurance companies, the banks, and the credit unions do with their endowment plans or their retirement plans?
The difference is that it is established, that it is regulated, that it works within a licensed environment, and that the public, those who participate, they have recourse through the courts in various places. So the difference between, right, and that's the difference.
I understand that, Mrs. I know you're going to
so
say that.
So that's the difference.
I
but you
asked,
so I asked.
And I know, fair enough, no problem. I understand that. And I understand that that's the first thing they're going to say. They're regulated, they're licensed. But my question is, why can't mature, understanding adults regulate their own affairs between themselves?
Because, and you know this as a businessman, you will run into the odd person or persons who renege on their promise. And you have to have a way of keeping them in line. And even, sir, hold on. Let me just ride out the horse and then jump off.
Go ahead.
Because you know that even with regulation, there are people who are unscrupulous, and even the regulated companies run into trouble. Yes, sir.
Well,
I jump off the horse now.
That is exactly my point.
Sir, I know it was your point, which is why I rode the horse out. So trust me, right? If there's one thing I try to be, is fair. I mean,
whether it's regulated or not, it all depends on the individual, whether or not they intend to be honest and upfront in their dealings. Banks lend people every day, and every other day they have to put people in court to get their money back.
They have people who renege.
So tell me, what is the difference then between putting your money in like you do with an endowment plan or a retirement policy and waiting for your time, whether by age or by a time period, to mature to get your money back? What is the difference then between, when you buy a lotto ticket for $20, how can you buy a lotto ticket for $20, but you can win $350,000? Because it's regulated, okay?
Where does the other
$349,980 come from?
From people like you who put $20 in it, sir.
Other people's money.
Yeah.
And you know what?
So why are you shouting at me? I can hear you, know. You ain't convincing anybody.
Sorry, that's
I know. No.
It's more than luck.
Sir, here's my point.
Yes.
Here's my point, okay? You have clearly outlined what you see as being the positive side of pyramids, blessing circles, or whatever they're called, because you see it as investors who pool their resources to reach a financial end. Unfortunately, like ZR drivers, like regulated banks that have failed, like insurance companies that whose principals have been dragged into the court, insurance companies that have failed because they could not pay out when they had a large claim. It comes down to people saying, I put my faith in and I was burnt, so I'm not going to do it again. Yes, the man investing $5 in a super lotto or $2 in a, what's the other one? Pick six, pick eight, pick whatever. The man who invests $2 or $1 and hope to get 5,000 or 20,000 or 5 million, he's taking a chance. The problem is he's taking a chance with $2 because, as you said at the start of your presentation, he feel he could lose $2. So if he invests $2 and get nothing, he figure he could lose $2. If that same man had to put $2,000, he may not want to do it because he don't feel he could lose $2,000.
There's some people. There's some principle, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, hold on. It does not change the principle; it changes the approach. That's all I'm saying. So I hear what you say, but I'm telling you, when people get burnt, they will say, "Not me again." That's all.
Well, fair enough. But if you live by the principle from the very beginning, you will invest that which you can afford to lose, and that's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, like I've heard the FTC speak about these things constantly, right? But Mr. Johnson, you know we have some real corporate bullies in Barbados who unfair ordinary persons every day. I mean, for example, you will have a service. You don't get the use of your service for 6 days out of a month, but you are demanded to pay the full service for the month under the threat of losing your service. So you're paying for a service which you did not get. And then you have the service provider telling you they are going to investigate. So they go and they investigate themselves. And they then come back and say to you, oh, these are legitimate charges, and you have to pay if you want to maintain your service. Where is the FTC in those things, Mr. Johnson?
No, you're asking a completely different question, right?
Because I'm just trying to show you that the FTC, sir. Go ahead.
The FTC regulates certain parts of the provision of those services, others they don't. And let me say to you, I am not happy with their representation either, because I do not believe any entity, whether it is the police, whether it is Flo, Digicel, or Starcom Network, should investigate itself. It doesn't make sense. And the FTC says they cannot bring a charge and adjudicate it themselves. So if they understand that about themselves, they should understand the principle of having a service provider investigate themselves. And therefore, it means that when we set up these regulatory bodies, whether it is financial services, whether it is FTC, whether it is Office of Public Counsel, whether it is Ombudsman, I sound like a stuck record, but you give them the resources to investigate, prosecute, and reach a judgment. Because that's the only way you will ensure that the consumer is protected at all levels.
I agree with that, Mr. Johnson. And I'm saying this because I believe the FTC have a duty to the everyday citizen who is a consumer. I mean, look at the bank. You pay a fee to open an account. You pay a fee to keep it open. You pay a fee to withdraw. You pay a fee to deposit. You pay a fee when the balance falls below. And what is the interest rate? 0.005%. So there's everything for the bank to gain from keeping your money, which they are licensed and regulated to do. But there's nothing for you as a consumer to get from that bank. These are things that I believe the Fair Trading Commission, if they are fair trading with the business of keeping poor people apart or away from the disadvantages of these corporate bullies, those are the things they should look at.
They are not
looking at these things. That's what I'm saying. That's
they
my opinion.
Are not. Let me tell you point blank, they are not. The regulatory body for the banks is the Central Bank of Barbados. That's the regulatory body for the banks. The Fair Trading Commission will tell you that the arrangement between you and your banker is not a matter of fair trade. that you can pick up your money and put it somewhere else, as you have done in your arrangement that you've just outlined. Sir, the financial services sector in Barbados needs strict regulation. By strict regulation, I mean more than what we keep calling moral suasion. And it cannot be, I've tried to point out, for example, when people say that if you had a national bank, it would set the trend by doing something different. And if it did, then you would see the Fair Trading Commission being brought into play. Because I am fairly certain that all the other commercial banks in Barbados would get a high-powered team of attorneys to write to the Fair Trading Commission and say, look, it is improper for the First National Trust and Bust Bank to come in here and start giving people 10% interest while we give in 0.1% interest. It's unfair trade. They carry away with customers. I want to know how they're paying 10% interest in this environment when we can't do it. Then you'll see the Fair Trading Commission getting called into practice, because that is what trading is about, taking unfair advantage by trying to grab all my people by enticing them with 10% interest. I am willing to bet, and I am not a betting man, but I could lose $2 on that. Sir, we fight the wrong battles in this business until we get bitten on the rear end. If you read the newspaper now, you will see notices being placed in the newspaper by various entities that want to get into the business of setting up farms to generate electricity. You will see the provider of electrical services in Barbados Distribution, the Barbados Light and Power, applying for rate changes and rate checks. And tell me where you see a group of persons counteracting that by saying, we want to make a submission, we want to make a presentation before you make a determination. Tell me where you see it. With all the legal apparatus we have, all the lawyers dealing with corporate matters, all the agencies, all the associations, tell me where you see it. And when you find it, tell me, because I want to highlight it.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, good afternoon, Daniel.
Hi.
I was forced to pick up the phone and call you today. I have not done so in years. I don't think we've spoken in very many years. This is Irene Sandy for Garner here.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. To compliment you or compliment your conscience.
Okay.
And I said to myself, Lord, I hope Dennis don't lose the little pick. Because
that's all right.
I have not heard this level of objectivity from a moderator in a long time. And I mean, honestly, you said it and you said why you said it. You said that the press conference was not a press conference. It morphed into a political discourse. Now, as a trained journalist, I understood you clearly. I listened myself. And I said, but why are the reporters allowing the prime minister to go down this line? It is a press conference about a specific matter. But Dennis, there is a fear in this country that journalists are facing, which I can illustrate to you. I don't know if you heard Floyd Lisa mention about having an interview. We wanted to have an interview with him. I'm on his team. I wasn't involved in the interview part. But they tried to get someone to interview him. I wasn't involved at that level at that time. And not one journalist could do it. But your company was called, and David did explain to the party why he was not in favor of a reporter doing it. And I understand him clearly, because if she did, she would have to be at the other side, because you have to maintain a level of objectivity, or at least seem to have some level of objectivity in political campaigns. Now, we have the resources in the party in terms of talent. I could have done it. A young lady who was there eventually did it and did an excellent job. But not one reporter, not even those who freelance, was willing to do that interview with him because they were afraid of this backlash. Earlier up in the campaign, we wanted a jingle. And his wife, who is well known in the entertainment fraternity, tried to get a local person to do the jingle. Not one would do it. They eventually got a young gentleman to sing it. The person who wrote it refused to sing it. I myself called men who I have an excellent relationship with in the entertainment fraternity to do the jingle. They said they could use my studio. I might be able to write it, but I ain't singing it. At one point, his wife was planning to go to Trinidad to get a Trinidadian to do the jingle, and she was prepared to tell the public of Barbados when they heard it why we had to go to Trinidad to get that jingle done. We had the money up front to pay. Nobody wanted to do it in Barbados. But yet I saw a number of Barbadian performers at the Barbados Labour Party annual conference. We have them singing the jingle, and they're all on board, so to speak. And I said, when I heard you, this is conscience. And we need to have more people of conscience speaking out in this country about what we're seeing happening, particularly in the media. Last week, we had a meeting on Sunday night. The Nation Publishing Company carried a full spread, color, of the Barbados Labour Party's offerings. The Democratic Labour Party, of which I was a member of that platform, got a few columns in black and white. And I posted it on my Facebook page because I'm very busy now on Facebook. And I said, we are watching and we're taking note. If the Fourth Estate does not gather the intestinal fortitude to start to question what is going on in this country, there will be no freedom of expression, and we will definitely have a community or country that has become fearful under this government. And let me just add, I work on the Tom Adams in the Nation newsroom, and I could give you stories here too.
And you made a comment just now, ma'am, that is perhaps the underlying challenge for persons of conscience. You said, we are taking note. And when people make those statements, that's when the shutters start coming down, the wrought iron bars start going up, and those who are afraid of their conscience and the consequences of their conscience start backing off. Just listen to me for a minute. Because they want their little pick. They don't want to get fired under a street light. They don't want to get cussed in the media. They don't want to get posted to Siberia as the ambassador to the back of nowhere and ignored. That's the problem. I have stood up for my conscience from age 14 and paid the price. I'm a stateless person. I was a vagrant all over the place because of my conscience. I have to live with the dictates of my conscience. I sat in this chair and get cussed by members of your party. And I took it because it was not personal. I knew it was being thrown at me personally, but I took it as an issue. I will continue to speak my conscience, regardless of which party holds political power. Because the only thing that could happen, as you say, is that Dennis can lose his little pick. But it's a little pick. I will survive. Thank you. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
To you, in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mr. Johnson.
To you too, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I heard a caller earlier when you were talking about Susu and all of that. Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, I would not advise nobody to get involved in this Susu. A gentleman was asking you, what's the difference between the bank and what you were doing with, you know, these pyramids and blessings, circle blessings and all like that. The difference is that you sign to be a fool at the bank. You sign by agreement, right? And you get your returns by agreement. When you join with these people, There is no agreement, so you can't take nobody to court, nor you can't really argue because you do everything through the back door. I want to bring something to you today, Mr. Johnson, and I hope it will make good reading to those people who like reading. Joshua, who was a man trained by Moses and who promised that he will serve God according to the way Moses did. But Joshua got fooled two times. One time, the first time the people came and said they were from a far country and their food were old and their shoes were old and all like that. And when you hear the shout, they had to see Joshua. Another time, Joshua went to a war, the Battle of Ai, and he eventually had asked God if he should go up to do this battle. And God said, yes, go up. And God told him how many men to take with him. But when Joshua went to the Battle of Ai, Joshua lost 36 men, bam, so in a hurry. And Joshua fell on his face and asked God, why I lost these 36 men? He said, because you have a dishonest man in your group. Seek him out and get the revenge. Mr. Johnson, today people are greedy, both white people and black people. Don't bring color into the matter. In agriculture, Mr. Barrett at one time said he don't want to see a clean bed in Barbados. That was the downfall of agriculture in the sense. Mr. Barrett knew the work that the people were doing. I raised up on a plantation, and people were working hard, and the Europeans were paying them next thing for nothing for the sugar. They were buying the sugar and making the price for the sugar. And though the people had to work hard, they were working for less money. The government had to subsidize the agricultural situation.
Sir.
So therefore, Mr. Johnson,
sir,
the problem that I have and I realize in my life, I tell people how old I am today. I was misguided as a young man. But then I started to go a different way. And I realized, you see, this world is greedy. Everything is about greed. Anything you can talk about, Mr. Johnson, is greed. And if you can't get rid of greed, Mr. Johnson, I heard you said earlier, what we had to do is who we should trust. Mr. Johnson, don't trust nobody. Don't even trust Dennis Johnson. I want to thank you today.
I thank you, sir. Sir, I just wanted to tell you, right, that politicians say things all the time. It is what people hear. You were talking about reading the Bible. People hear all sorts of different things when they read the same book. The same book. They hear and interpret all sorts of different things. Beckett, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? And somebody went and killed him. Because that's what they hear. Man could wring his hand afterwards and say, that's not what I tell you to do. I have heard this Baruch Cain speech over and over and over and over. And those who have tried to explain it said it was because the people working in the field didn't have any place to go and take care of nature's call. The ladies couldn't find a place, you know, to take care of the calls of nature. So he made that statement. Which is why I was trying to tell one of the previous callers that I don't ascribe motive. And she took it in a, you know, I didn't want to talk about political party. It's not about political party. I have often said to callers, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't like John Stout. Or I don't like what John Stout did. But when you tell me he did it because, I'll tell you stop. I don't know why anybody does anything. I may look at you and suspect that you pelting stones at my house because you don't like me. But that's what I suspect. I can't say what you think. And I always pull people up there. So I don't know what Mr. Barrow was thinking when he said what he said. People interpret it the way they want to. Can't stop that either.